Good afternoon. Welcome to the last meeting of this academic year. The new Senate begins next Thursday at 3:35, and we have a reception at 3:05 for the new Senate and the outgoing senators, if they wish to attend, here in this room next week. So may I have a motion to approve the agenda? Amendments?
Yes, I'd like to make an amendment to the agenda. I'd like to move to add, under item 5A, Undergraduate Curriculum Committee minutes, to add the minutes of May 3rd, 2012, which have been distributed at the desk.
Okay. Okay. We don't have to vote on each one. Is there a second? Okay. Any debate about adding those items to the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee meeting? Any objections? Okay, it's added. Other amendments?
Madam Chair, I wish to amend the agenda under line item 5E. I wish to include the resolution forwarded by the Policy Board on Administration.
Under 5E, to add, substitute the resolution for the minutes. A second? Okay. Objections? It's been done.
Thank you.
Professor Bodner, do you wish to? You don't have to. Oh. Just to make this kosher.
The Graduate Curriculum Committee at its 4-4 meeting approved this following course that I have left here, but the material was handed in late. This is a request that we approve Jazz 707, Counterpoint for Composers and Arrangers 1, as a request for a new course.
Okay, second? Any objections? It's been added. Okay, just a couple of announcements. On number three, A and B will be reversed. Our guest speaker will be actually speakers Sue Henderson and Betsy Hendry, and they will speak first. And also, there is a document that accompanied that was in your packets, and that was a version of the strategic plan dated April 18th, and there is a more updated one dated May 1st sitting here in this lodge package. There's also the resolution mentioned by Jamie here, and the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee addendum and the Graduate Curriculum Committee addendum, so please feel free to come up and get these things. While we're doing that, are there any announcements? Mike, can you reach the mic? You want to use this mic so you don't have to climb the stairs?
Hi, I'm Jackie Cohen. I'm the project coordinator for NYPIRG. Next week, we are on Wednesday, right? Yeah. Wednesday during free hour, we're having an event called Dream Out Loud, where we're talking about where we stand on the New York State Dream Act, and we're going to hear from professors and students. So it's during free hour on the quad. So I encourage everyone to join us. Thanks.
Thank you.
I just, Madam
name?
Chair.
Name?
James,
your name.
James Robinson, ACE delegate to the Academic Senate. I just wanted to say thank you to all the faculty for always allowing me a voice in this room. And many times I have brought controversial things to the floor, and you have always allowed me a voice, and I just want to say thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Stephen?
Stephen Grover, philosophy. On Monday, May the 7th, Professor John J. McDermott, who was a professor of philosophy here at Queen's from, I believe, the late 1950s until the mid-1970s, is coming back to the college, and he's giving a talk at 5 o'clock on Monday, May the 7th, and I believe it's in the dining hall. Is that correct? Okay, to the Toomey Lounge in the library. Anyway, it's at 5 o'clock on Monday, May the 7th, and he was very popular with students, if not always with his colleagues.
Thank you. Ken?
Wearing an entirely different hat for the moment, as Blackboard administrator for the campus, I would like to make sure everyone is aware and has seen that we will be upgrading from Blackboard version 8 to Blackboard version 9 come the end of May. And the look and feel of Blackboard version 9 is very different. There is a tab if you log into Blackboard, it says Blackboard 9. It will take you to a website that is external from Blackboard, so anybody can get to it. Even if you just go to the portal, you'll find it. And the working groups, committees I've chaired and so forth, have put a tremendous amount of upgrade and training materials there. And there's a timetable about when courses will and will not be available for you to copy over and use for summer and fall. We've tried to work it out so the downtime is minimal, but there will be some moments where some things will not be available to you, so I encourage you. Also the students, there's training materials for students. If you're taking a summer course, surprise, come May 27th, you're entering a brand new world, and you might want to at least have a heads up as to how on earth do I get to my course in this new system. Please spread the word, because I don't want people to be surprised.
Thanks. As always, I see, are you making an announcement? Oh, okay, please.
Hello, everyone. So with Senator Speer, I just wanted to congratulate all the former senators and senators that are leaving and everyone else who's here. And
what's your name, please?
Oh, it's Ernst Pierre, and it's SFC.
Thank you.
So we are one body.
Are you making an announcement about an event, or are you making a political statement?
Oh, well, it's an announcement. Announcement and a political statement as well.
No political statements, only announcements, please.
So you object to that. My apologies. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, as usual, I have skipped the approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes. So, may I have a motion to approve the Academic Senate meeting minutes of March 29th, 2012, and April 5th, 2012? Okay, there's no second on a minute, so any objections, discussion, changes? Okay, done. Okay. Continuing under announcements, we have guest speakers, Sue Henderson and Betsy Hendry.
Perfect. You're going to go on? Go ahead. That's just quickly. Good afternoon. Good. I thank you so much for giving us some time. What we're presenting to you today, this point, is sort of the culmination of about 8 months' work. About 6 years ago, the college sat down and decided it needed to put together its first ever strategic plan. And we met with faculty, staff, students, alumni, community members, and there was a plan that we implemented. And as you will see, if you look on the website, you'll see what got accomplished with the last plan. Thanks to some good work that's been done by Dean Hendry, who spent last year as an ACE fellow learning about how strategic plans are done in other institutions, we did a somewhat different process this year and have what we think is a really nice document for you to look at, and at this point, we'd like for you to think about reacting to. So, Betsy?
Yeah, I've got this thing, does it? So we may actually be on revision 1.1 by now, but I wanted to talk a little bit about why strategic planning and the process that we're following, and then invite your input. So one reason, an important reason for strategic planning, is that Middle States accreditation requires it. Standard 2 states that an institution should conduct ongoing planning and resource allocation based on its mission and goals, and then that, so that basically the strategic plan needs to guide how the college moves forward and how the college allocates resources. And I would say beyond that, it's a chance for the us as an institution to reflect on where we've been, where we want to go, and to guide the next few years. The charge from President Myskens was that we would develop a new strategic plan reflecting our goals and aspirations, our mission of teaching and scholarship, and the unique nature of Queens College students. And they are multicultural, multilingual, transnational, and then also to reflect an important part of our mission, our place in the community and our service to the community as well. The parameters were that it should be high level, that we will try and have high level goals for the institution that will then have measurable outcomes. As an economist, I like measurable outcomes. We'll guide budget and we'll guide more specific divisional and departmental plans. So the process we followed, the first phase, which was last fall, we termed strategic thinking, open discussion, broad opportunities for input, but not yet trying to formulate goals. We are currently in the strategic plan development phase. We have a draft plan, which you have circulated to you. Based on the results of the first phase, we are going around to multiple venues, looking for comments, and then expect to finalize the plan. Then beginning next summer, going into next fall, we expect to do implementation planning. There will be an overall strategic plan implementation group for the college. You'll see there are 5 institutional goals, an implementation team for each of them, and then one to talk about how we do this, how we tie it to budget, and have it guide our decision making. And then the fourth phase would be, of course, implementing the plan, which would be in 2013 through 2018. Annual agenda where we say, what are we going to accomplish this year? Do we need to change course? What progress have we made toward the goals? So the goals need to be measurable. We need to assess our progress in order to determine if we're achieving what we set out to achieve. And over the overall goal really is that we want to build on our campus community, which, as I said, multicultural, multilingual, and transnational, to improve ourselves, our neighborhood, the country, and the world, and that we want to embrace the motto, we learn that we may serve, and providing students with an education that provides them to be leaders, innovators, enlightened citizens. So what we've done, and let me see if I can connect to this, we have set up a website that is available through MyQC, which has the draft plan, and that plan will evolve as we get input. And let's see if I can. I may need help on this one. So here is the overview of the strategic plan. And then under each of them, for example, one of the institutional goals is weaving transnational connections. You will see, if you scroll down there, that at the bottom of each page, there's a thread, like comments on a blog, where people can put up comments, they can see what others have said about it, and so for each part of the plan, people will be able to comment, whether it's I don't like the wording, or I think we should be thinking more broadly here, or shouldn't we include this here. So what we'd like to do is start basically a campus-wide dialogue about the draft plan. And let's see, and the 5 goals, and you can get much more detail about them either in the document or on the website: weaving transnational connections, launching graduates into the global future, nurturing inquiry and creativity, building a campus community, and enriching our local community. And those will be the 5 areas where we'll be forming committees and talking about measurable outcomes and specific action goals, action plans to achieve those goals. We will be, and you'll be getting a QC mailer, there will be a town hall next Friday, May 11th, 2 to 4, I believe, which is open to the community. If you're able to make that and engage in a discussion, that would be great. If not, also please take advantage of the looking at the website, and we welcome any input. So, thank you.
One of the things I want to comment on is the beauty of this website is that there are threads, and it's much like a blog, and we will be tracking that. So as things come up, it may and then indeed influence some of the details that are under these goals. So I hope you'll take advantage, if you can't come to some of these meetings, to at least work with us online to help us refine this. Thank you again.
And we anticipate that the website will be a living document, because as the implementation steps comes along, that will be there, tracking measures, so that over time you will be able to not only see the plan, but where we've gone with it.
Could I ask a question? Is it too late?
No.
Okay. Okay, Professor Hendry and Vice President Sue, in the early part of the presentation, you had this thing about teaching and scholarship. Mm-hmm. I think you should have included service also. I think if faculty members and staff members perform service, that is also valuable, and it should be considered as such.
That's an excellent idea, and one of the things you may want to think about is not only, if you can go to the website and put that in as a blog, our writer, Zanna, would you raise your hand, Zanna Hendry, has been very helpful in helping us and revise that. Right now, the idea of doing service both for faculty and staff is sort of in the connection there, where we talk about having a very rich service to the community, the college community, which is our students, but that's a great idea of perhaps putting it in the other area. So. Thank you.
Any others?
Other questions or comments before we let them off the hook?
You know where I am. That's right.
Thank you.
Jan Hyde.
The State of the Senate, 2012. 'Twas the night before Senate, and all over the net, emails are flying, some factions upset. Deans in their jammies, all tucked into bed, nightmares of joint governance dance in their heads. The profs are preparing their finals with care, while seniors are dreaming, I'm out of here. 3:35 next day, one can hear sounds of agendas rustling the air. The senators gather, all armed for a fight. The chair and her deputy contemplate flight. And Phyllis, with clickers, is glad that they came. She counts till a quorum and calls some by name. Now Myskins, now Stellar, on Warren, on Lord. Come Pathways Committee, come chalk or whiteboard. The gavel is banged, the gangs are all ganged. Discussions, disputes, and messages sent. Then, suddenly, unanimous consent. Until we adjourn, few think it's been fun, but I nod to you all and bid all a well done. I wish to thank the Academic Senate Secretary, Phyllis D'Alessio, who makes everything run smoothly, and she makes it look effortless. Next, thanks to my deputy chair, who's been the deputy chair for the last 2 years, Senator Edward Borman, who, by the way, is graduating. parliamentarian Dave Fields and the rest of the... The rest of the Academic Senate Executive Committee, Ras Pete Baita, Elizabeth Lowe, Chris Oliver, Manny Sanudo, Stephen Solieri, Isabella Taylor, Alexandra Villanova, and lastly, thanks to Noel Pena, who sets up all of the AV. Lastly, I must apologize to the English department and perhaps Compliment, probably to all lovers of decent literature and poetry in general, and to the descendants of Clement Clark Moore or Henry Livingston Jr., depending on which side of the attribution argument you're on there, for a certain famous poem, if they happen to be in the room today. Thank you. Okay, I'd like to call upon... Ken Lord and Dave Fields.
With the Senate's permission, I would like to read the following resolution into the record. Whereas it is the duty of the Academic Senate to recognize one who has given years of service, and whereas extraordinary service by one who was a charter member of the Academic Senate must be recognized extraordinarily, and whereas performing extraordinarily service with collegiality, intelligence, passion, goodwill, and humor is the hallmark of a model academic senator, and whereas he has declared his intention to retire after a 50-year career at Queen's College, its Academic Senate, and its Undergraduate Curriculum Committee, and whereas today marks his final meeting with this Academic Senate, therefore, be it resolved that the Academic Senate of Queen's College extends its most sincere gratitude to Professor Frank Warren of the History Department for his years of dedicated service, and be it further resolved that the Academic Senate unanimously declare May 3, 2012, Frank Warren Day, and let it finally be resolved that the Academic Senate rise and express its appreciation with a round of applause.
Frank, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. Come over. We have a plaque for you. And it says, the Academic Senate of Queen's College extends its most sincere gratitude to Professor Frank Warren of the History Department for his years of dedicated service and for putting up with Dave Fields as one of his students. Oh, doesn't say that. Congratulations. Here you go.
Thank you very much. It's really been a privilege to be part of the student faculty governance for these many years. I think I leave with the record of losing more votes than anybody else.
Committee reports, Undergraduate Curriculum Committee.
Maybe the next minutes will be in rhyming iambic pentameter also. That would be interesting. I would like to move the minutes of the April 5th, 2012 Undergraduate Curriculum Committee. It's a mouthful, but I'll ask for unanimous consent.
Second. Okay, discussion.
Stephen Grover, philosophy. I couldn't think of a better way to celebrate Frank Warren Day than to come up with as many quibbles on the undergraduate curriculum committee. So the first thing I'd just like to point out is that although a course like the new course at the foot of page one, History and Memory, is listed as satisfying cultures and values and ET in parentheses at the end of its description, it hasn't been approved as satisfying those requirements. It has, even though it's a new course. I don't understand how that could be done.
Yes. One of the reasons these minutes are so long is the process that I've been working very hard on of trying to get departments to clean up the bulletin and for me to clean up the loose ends that have happened between GIAC and the UCC. Probably a couple years ago, as we were getting used to this, you know, GIAC would propose a course to be cultures and values, let's say, and we'd say, fine. The only problem was it didn't exist. So we had to go back and say, okay, now we got to make this into a new course. And I keep banging at CUNY First and the bulletin, and these things keep coming up. So this course was approved verbatim as a CV and ET course. It just isn't in CUNY First to be schedulable unless we approve it as a new existing, you know, a new course on the... That's why it's like this.
Well, I'm fairly confident that we never approved the Enlightenment on page 21, foot of page 21, another new course, as satisfying the pre-industrial requirement, because I very specifically remember raising the issue that the Enlightenment occurred during and not before the Industrial Revolution, and that this was a fact that was known to any schoolboy, and yet it is still listed as satisfying PI. So I'm fairly confident that the UCC has missed something here. Okay. That's quibble number one.
Yes.
Okay. We'll take that off.
Okay. Now, the variable topic courses, this is Frank's, the particular quibble for Frank, for 169 and 163, on pages 1 and 2, the foot of page 1 and foot of page 2, I was totally unclear why History 169... which seems to me to break the two colon rule. You should only have one colon. I only have one colon. What does it have to do with Europe? If you look for Europe in the description of the course, it does not appear anywhere, right? So this course has nothing to do with Europe, and so what I think has happened here is that somehow we've got a specific topic listed in the title of the course. This course should just be History and Memory, but Frank can put us right on that. And the same thing applies to 163 over the top of the page, Social and Cultural History, colon, United States, and yet the description of the course doesn't mention the United States at all. So again, there's something funny going on here. This is the second of my quibbles. I don't know whether Frank wants to answer that right now.
Originally, the History Department submitted to GIAC one History and Memory course that will cover everything, whether the topic would be European, United States, or History and Memory of another part of the world. GIAC felt it would be confusing to students to cover everything and asked us to create three courses because of the various categories within perspectives, the European tradition, the global, and the United States. So we created the three courses, but the general description of the course is basically a generic description. The topic when you have 169 will be a European topic. The topic when you offer 163 will be United States, and that's how the course evolved. And in other words, we were responding to a request from GIAC, and I think a request that made sense given the different categories.
Yeah, it was also a technical consideration that one course in one department with one number has to be encoded as satisfying one requirement. So we had to break it down into three separate course numbers.
Well, this is the kind of stuff which should be in the justification, of course. and there's nothing in the justification to answer these questions, so they have to be raised in this venue. The studio arts courses, I'm really puzzled as to what's going on here. So if we, page 3, for example, all of these trade names are making their way into the descriptions of courses. So a course which was called desktop publishing now becomes basic software for graphic design, and within its very course description, we get a list of Adobe Creative Suite software, InDesign, Illustrator, Flash, Photoshop, Dreamweaver, and so on. Now, we know that these won't be the softwares that are in use 10 years' time from now or 15 years' time from now. And so it seems foolish, or at least it's making a huge amount of work for the UCC, to have to come back and revisit this stuff every single time. And, it gets worse because they actually get into the titles of the courses. So what used to be called image processing becomes Photoshop Basics, Introduction to Adobe Photoshop. And if you look through all of these, it's going on all the time, and there's not really any justification at all. But it does seem to me that, having trade names actually in the titles of courses is a very peculiar thing to have. It should be Introduction to Vacuum Cleaning, not Hoovers, is what I think, and in general. And, that was another thing that disturbs me, right? Again, I just feel like the justifications are so thin here. We're not being given any explanation for what seem to be fairly obvious problems. I understand the UCC has been under a great deal of pressure, and I admire the work that they do tremendously. But, this stuff is important, and I do think we all have to be on our toes on these kinds of things. Well, I think there might be some. But as I say, I don't want to hold this up. I just really do want to note, though, that the function of this body is to try and catch these things. Right? That's what we're here.
We did spend a lot of time talking about this, as a matter of fact. There are two. The top two things we talked about are, one, why they're doing this essentially is a product of failure at CUNY First to be able to take a generic course and run it as a special topics. And when you have a special topics course, the students have to dig down one other next level to find out what that topic is. In the art department, studio art was having a great problem saying, the students are saying we're not giving any courses in Photoshop or Illustrator because special topics don't come up in a way that, enough said. And the other thing is, yes, software changes, but this particular software that they're using has been around for 10 years and probably will be the industry standard for the next 5 or 6 or 7 years. And it's not like, the phone operating system du jour and teaching that. These are industry standards, and this is what is going to be used. So we thought, okay, let them do it. If that's what they want to do, all things considered, no harm, no foul. But we went through the same argument.
Other comments, questions?
I'm sorry. Just one tiny more thing I'd forgotten. On page 6, Arts 187, Web Design 1, an introduction to web design. I think that the rest should be struck. Maybe the last sentence could be left. Because students are required to have access to a Mac computer with Adobe, InDesign, Illustrator, Photoshop, and Dreamweaver, and if possible, Flash. This doesn't belong in a course description. What students are required to possess in terms of technology doesn't belong in a course description, it seems to me. I don't know where it belongs, but it seems to be odd that people are required to have certain kinds of equipment, but that's a strange thing.
Yeah, what we did with that is actually lifted that out of the syllabus, because when I read that, I said, okay, it's Introduction to Web Design. Anybody can do that anywhere on any computer. Oh, but you get there the first day of classes. And not only do I have to have a Mac, I have to have all this expensive software on my Mac or be consigned to sitting in the computer labs at Queens College to do this. So we thought, this should be right up front. If you're going to read this course in the bulletin, and you want to take it, you better darn well have a Mac, and you better have this software and be up front about it rather than get a surprise when you've registered for the course. Thank you, Laura, for nodding. Yes. And it is odd, but...
Are you saying that that's a prerequisite, essentially?
It's a requirement.
Requirement, okay. Any other comments, questions? So you withdrew the one course?
Yeah, we'll take that out. I remember that. I think it's probably a... It's floating in the system somewhere. We just got to work it out and kill it somehow.
Okay, so if there's no objection, we'll just remove that and ask for a vote on the rest of... It's just removing the class as a PI.
Well, okay, so I'm not gathering that. If the Enlightenment is indeed not the late 17th century to 18th century, then the course description is in conflict with the title. And that's what I was understanding, that this, and that's what I remember from the last discussion, is... What? It's not pre-industrial. Okay, so it's just being...
Just removing it, just removing the PI
I got
class.
It. Thank you. Okay. But CVET is okay? Okay, I'm getting nods. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any objections to removing just PI from the course? Okay. So, any objections to the report as amended? Okay, done. Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes.
We have the minutes of May 3rd.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the second set. The minutes of May 3rd. If you did not get that, if you did not pick it up when you came in today, it's right here. You also got that email to you sometime yesterday afternoon.
Since this is coming later to the Senate, let me just say a few words about it. The writing, in, these are things that are in two categories. Committees that met since the last UCC meeting and didn't get stuff on time to us. The desire to, we know that the close of business at this meeting is the last time items can be put in the fall 2012, spring 2013 bulletin. We'd like to make it as complete as possible. So the committee met today and approved these items and bringing them forth to tie up all the loose ends. The Writing Intensive Subcommittee approved as a sometimes W course, CMAL 220, which y'all just approved as a new course. So now it will now be a W course. The General Education Advisory Committee passed four capstone courses for majors. A proposal from the Political Science Department came in so early to my call for proposals for changes that I forgot about it. This actually came in January, so if you don't pass this, I'm in trouble. And then there is a committee resolution under item C where between conversations with the provost and the advising center and general education, we have had a suspension of the capstone synthesis requirement of the perspectives general education system for this year. It's still true that there's not enough capstone courses or synthesis courses to create a large enough inventory for students to reasonably graduate with that requirement in the coming year. So we're moving again to suspend, not remove, but suspend that requirement for students, up to students graduating in next year, summer 2013, at which point some other gen ed thing I don't know about will come into effect in the fall. Move unanimous consent.
Any objections? Okay, seeing none, it's done.
And I would just like to thank the Senate for its cooperation this past year in a very difficult time with you know, both pathways, perspectives, and just getting all these curriculum changes. And ask good questions, and just thank you for your patience with our getting these things through to you.
Thank you for your efforts. Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes.
Ask that you accept the minutes of the Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes dated April 4, 2012.
A second? Okay. Any discussion? Objections? Questions? Done?
Thank you.
Now, wait a minute. Don't you have another item?
You,
Dean Bodner, there's no escape yet.
This was.
One laggard course that was approved on April 4th, and that is Jazz 707, Counterpoint for Composers and Arrangers, a new course. I ask that that be accepted.
Any discussion, objections, questions? Done.
Thank you.
Nominating committee report.
I need a minute to confer. Do I ask to make an amendment first? Okay, so I have an added item. With Frank Warren's retirement from the UCC committee, I would like to add that Joel Allen from the History Department be added to the report.
Any objection? Done.
Okay. So I move that the report dated May 3rd for the nominating committee be moved forward with a unanimous consent.
Any objection? Comment? Done. Okay. Committee on Athletic Policy nominees. This is a list sent to us by the Committee on Athletic Policy. There is no attached report. These are their nominees for the committee going forward 2012-2013.
Three names.
This is a college committee, which is slightly different from a standing committee or a special committee or even an ad hoc committee, but we have four types of committees. And what the Senate's authority here is to pass upon the nominees to the Committee on Athletic Policy. There's no nominations from the floor, but you could vote it up or down. I move approval.
Okay.
With unanimous consent.
Comments? Objections? Done. Policy Board on Administration. If you do not have the resolution, it is sitting here, and there are some slight changes that Jamie would like to, just some editorial stuff that Jamie would like to present.
Madam Chair, I understand from our Senate parliamentarian that the resolution in its current form is not in order. Therefore, I would like to make the following editorial changes on behalf of the committee. Please, on the first, be it resolved, strike will and replace it with is requested to. Second, on the final, be it resolved, strike approval or disapproval and insert its recommendations of these plans. After these editorial changes, I would ask for unanimous consent.
I have a friendly amendment, or what I think is a friendly amendment. In the third whereas, put the word the before administration, so that the third whereas will now read, whereas the administration has stated, etc. And the second one is on the first, be it resolved, on line 5, where you have, will seek to accommodate instructors' needs. Instructors is the possessive tense, therefore there should be an apostrophe after the S.
Okay, both.
I will accept that as a friendly.
Just, these are all yours and Ron's are all editorial
yes.
items.
Right.
So now the resolution is open to discussion.
I would ask. Unanimous consent, Madam Chair?
Any objections? Done.
Thank you.
Old business? There is no old business. Why is, okay. Okay, new business, scheduled meeting dates. Ken?
I must have had too much time on my hands today, but going through the academic calendar from the university register, I found that February 14th, it's not I object to having a Senate meeting on Valentine's Day, but it is a conversion day and it's a Tuesday schedule. That might create problems for people who have Tuesday schedules that conflict with Senate meetings. So I would suggest we move it back to the 7th.
Okay. Just to repeat, we're changing Ken is pointing out that February 14th, even though it's a Thursday, is a Tuesday schedule, so suggesting February 7th in its place. If there's no objection, comment? Yes, Ron?
I have no objection. I remember in past academic senates, usually in the April or May meeting, we received a schedule for the academic year, the coming up academic year, which would be 2012 and 2013. I don't recall receiving such a calendar. Was there?
That's an important question, but let's finish the vote since about this.
Right.
Okay. So any objections to the change in the meeting schedule from February 14th to February 7th, 2013. Okay, seeing none, it's done. Now, any objection to the whole schedule as amended? Okay, done. Now, Ron, please.
Okay, the same question I asked.
Yes, I'm not going to make you repeat it. I actually have an answer for you.
Yes.
At one time, colleges made slight changes, but at this point, we consistently follow the university academic schedule that's been posted for over a year now.
Yeah. So what is the schedule for the 2012-2013 year? Where is it?
It is posted at the university registrar and
CUNY website.
At the CUNY website.
It's on the CUNY website, so.
And you can get to it through your portal or directly without going.
Is there
through.
A place to get a hard copy around this college?
CUNY website.
Yeah, besides printing it out. Besides printing it out. What? Doesn't exist. No, it would be nice to have a hard copy. Yeah.
I understand.
Okay, I believe in hard copies, including college bulletins.
Okay.
Given that there's no faculty senate candidates, I'm going to move to adjourn sin die, which means it's the last meeting of the session.
Second. Thank you all very much for a very fruitful and busy.
Thank you. My car, then I was going to run upstairs and run to my class.
Come on.